Our text for today comes from the book of the Gospel of Matthew in the 14th chapter, starting in verse 13 and reading through the 21st verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great cloud, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fishes." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, of which they filled 12 baskets. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Amen. Would you pray with me for a moment? Father God, we come with a lot of things on our mind. For the next couple of minutes, we pray that you would help us to set that aside. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So this is a very familiar passage. One of the interesting things about this is one of the only times that you find a story in all four Gospels. Interesting, just a little tidbit that a pastor once said, if you ever need to remember where this is, remember John 9. No, not John 9. Forget it. I'm a little discombobulated today, so I'm going to apologize for that right now. But anyhow, when I was growing up, two of my favorite subjects was always science and math. I loved math, except in seventh grade, where I had so much homework that I got a little perturbed about it. But, you know, I hit high school, and, you know, freshman year, algebra. Sophomore year, geometry. Junior year, algebra 2. And then finally, senior year, Math 4, which all the colleges never knew what to do with. It was actually pre-calc. And I remember I had Math 4 right after lunch. So we would always go to the classroom beforehand, look through the door, and the teacher had each of the homework assignments on the board with who should put their proof up. So we were always there seeing, okay, which one do I have? All right, what did you get for this? What did you get for that? And then I went off to college, and I had freshman chemistry, and I had freshman physics. Now, there is a good bit of math to chemistry. There's a whole lot for physics. And I just remember going to lecture Dr. Edwin Negley. He must have been in his late 60s. He would get up at with a big chalkboard, and he would put these chemical equations up there that, you know, were about that long or so. And then at the end, he'd get his little hand calculator, and he'd go, "And now we turn the crank." And we'd all be there, and we, you know, with our calculators, and we'd be doing it, and he'd finish. And then sometimes he'd look at his calculator, and he'd look at the equation, and he'd look at his calculator, and he'd say, "Well, right." So I loved math, and I still love math. Math is very logical. Okay? What's 2 plus 2? 4. Is it ever 5? Is it ever 3? No. It's 4. You know, you're all, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. If you do it, you know, there's a logic in there. There's an order to it. A lot of times on Facebook, people will put these equations up there that is a mix of addition and multiplication and parentheses and all of that. And everybody knows, you know, how to solve that. Everybody knows the little cheat sheet, right? "Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally." You know, you do your parentheses first, then your exponents, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. And you always do it left to right. So if you've got two addition, you do the one on the left first and then on the right. And this causes so much irritation because nobody knows the order of operations, and it drives some of us absolutely crazy. But math, again, math is very logical. There's not a lot of estimation with it. I'm not saying that there isn't some, but for most of everyday math, there's a correct, always a correct answer. So let's do a little proof here. Okay. You've got 5,000 men plus women and children, so you're probably talking, I don't know, 7,000-8,000 people. Okay? So you have these people. And you need to, they need to be fed. They've been hanging around with Jesus, being healed, and all of this is getting late. It's time to feed them. The disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, we want to send these people off." And he says, "Now, you give them, you feed them." And the disciples are like, "Dude, all we've got are 2 fishes and a couple loaves of bread. What the heck are we supposed to do with this?" Okay, so you got 8,000 people that you got to feed, and you've got 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And when we talk about loaves of bread, we're not talking about big ones, we're talking about little ones. And the disciples are like, we haven't got enough. And Jesus told, "Just bring them here." Jesus blessed them, broke them, gave them to the disciples, and said, "Go and feed them." And I couldn't help remembering, I forget what the show was, but it was a television show about the life of Jesus. And during this scene, you know, Jesus blesses the fishes and the loaves. and they put them. They put them in. He puts some a little bit in each of baskets and sends them out. And one of the disciples says, "I'm sorry, but we don't have a whole lot." And the basket gets upended, and all of this fish comes pouring out. All of this fish. All of this bread. A bread. Two little fishes. Not only was this enough to feed all the men, women, and children, but there was enough that they could eat until they were satisfied. And everybody knows there's a difference between being full and being satisfied. Satisfied, you know, you got a little bit more to that. Now, you see, that doesn't, and afterwards, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Five loaves of bread, two little fishes. People fed, satisfied. 12 baskets of leftovers. That don't make sense. Okay? If you did the math, maybe you had enough to feed one or two people. But there was enough for everything. It doesn't make sense. It blows my little mind thinking about that. But the thing is, you know, there are rules to math. And then there is the math of God. And the math of God doesn't have anything to do with the math of men necessarily. Because God's math is a little bit, well, not a little bit. God's math is very different. We see it here with the feeding of 8,000 people or so. Just a little bit. And God multiplied it to feed everyone. Go back to the wedding feast at Canaan. Okay? Jesus' first miracle. He's there. They run out of wine. The host is getting a little bit nervous because, you know, he wants to make sure that there's a good impression. And Mary, being a typical mother, said, "Jesus, go do something about it." And what does he do? He has them filled up the water pots up to the very edge. And Jesus turned water into wine. It is said that Jesus made 180 gallons of wine from water. Everything that God touches multiplies. God has touched this world, and the plants multiply. We multiply as human beings. How many of you have ever had a situation where you were faced hypothetically with feeding thousands of people and all that you've got is those five loaves and those two fishes, and you say to yourself, "Dear Lord, I don't have enough." But you keep walking. You have faith that God's going to do it. You don't think it's going to happen because all I got is this little bit of stuff. But all of a sudden, you're able to feed those 8,000 people. How does it happen? How did this happen? I don't know. It just works out. It's a miracle. We are blessed with certain gifts, whether they be the gift of speech, the gift of listening, all of the other, soft skill or whatever you want to call it. We are blessed with certain physical things, with houses, with jobs, with cars. We are blessed with finances that we are able to give to the church. Might not be a whole lot. Some people can only give $10 a week, $20 a week. But it's amazing what God does with that $10, $20 a week. It's amazing what God does when He can take all of our offerings, bring them together, and it's still relatively small, but it's amazing what God can do with what we give. You think back to the story of Gideon. Gideon had a great big army, and he was going to go off and fight, and God said, no, you got too many. And He whittles it down to a very small group of soldiers, and they go against, this large army, and they defeat the army. So, the math of God. I'm not going to pretend that I even understand how it all works out. All that I can say is we need to take our five loaves and our two fishes. We need to say, God, this is all I got. You know what I need to do. Please help me. And then take a step in faith. And then another one, and then another one, and see how God will take and multiply whatever you give Him. Watch how He will multiply that to do His will for His kingdom here on earth. Amen.